Blog Talk Radio.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, He amid the flood of mortal wills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not His equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same. And He must win the battle. And though this world with devils fills should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fail Him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through Him who with us sided. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Good afternoon, dear saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. I am your brother, I am your host, I am your servant in Christ, and I go by the moniker Radio Reformer. I hope and pray that you are doing well. As for me, always excited to be in studio to share the Word of God with you, to talk, to go over some scriptures, to present another proposition, to challenge these Romish stooges who belong to the Joint College of African American Bishops, to get under their skin, to tell them what Scripture says of them, because everything we say here must be evaluated and must be told by the canon of Scripture, not by the canon of canon law, not by the code of canon law. So we're back in studio today to present to you another proposition. This proposition pretty much is along the same lines as yesterday's proposition. Of course, there's always no two propositions are the same. Please bear note of that. Please bear that in mind, that no two propositions are the same. So let us quickly move to discuss this proposition for today. What I'll do is I'll read yesterday's proposition. And as I'm pulling it up, let me just greet everyone from here in the United States, from coast to coast, from those tuning in from Norway and Zambia and Germany and Great Britain. And if I forget a country, please forgive me. But this is the miracle of internet radio, that I can be here in a countryside in the United States and I can be speaking to you 3,000 miles away, 5,000 miles away. That's the miracle of the internet. And we thank the Lord every day. Every day I thank the Lord for this wonderful technology that we have, because I don't have to get on a plane. I don't have to go to an airport. I don't have to get frisked. I don't have to take off my shoes and my belt, and I don't have to go through a scanning machine. Right here from the comfort of this studio, I am ministering to you the word of the Lord. Well, yesterday, Proposition 25 went like this. Despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not an evangelical reformation. Since this religious corpus fails to represent and follow in the footsteps of militant Christ of the Old Testament. Now we saw that the very first scripture in the Bible that talks about Jesus portrays Jesus as being militant. The very first scripture that ever mentions Jesus, which is Genesis 3:15, points to the fact that this Messiah that we should be waiting for is going to declare war on the serpent. He will crush the serpent's head. And the serpent will retaliate by bruising, by puncturing his heel. Right out of the gate, right out of the book of Genesis, we see that the very first mention of Christ presents him as a warrior. Before it presents Christ as Redeemer, before it presents Christ as Savior, before it presents Christ as a prophet, before it presents Christ as a king, before it presents Christ as a teacher, as a healer, the first thing the Bible does is it mentions that Christ is a fighter. He's a fighter. He's a fighter. It does. Genesis 3:15 does not present him as a healer. Does not present them as a redeemer, does not present them as a savior, does not necessarily present them as a teacher or a prophet or a king. No. It presents him as a warrior. Now, that's problematic for the Joint College of African American Bishops because they claim to be the successors of Christ. But this is all a complete lie. Why? Because these guys just want to sing kumbaya. These guys just want to be ecumenical. These guys just want to be part of that one world religion. Well, again, let's read Proposition 25. Despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not evangelical. Why isn't it evangelical? Because in order for you to be evangelical, you have to preach the evangel. And if you preach the evangel, you cannot be ecumenical. The evangel is not a smorgasbord of human doctrines combined with doctrines of demons. It's not. That's what ecumenism is. Ecumenism is a mixture of the doctrines of men and the doctrines of demons. Therefore, this group claims to be evangelical, but it is not. Because if it is evangelical, you have to preach Christ and Him crucified. And that they don't do. If you're in bed with the Pope, you're not preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're not. You're preaching the gospel of the seven sacraments. You're preaching the gospel of purgatory. You're preaching the gospel of indulgences. You're preaching the gospel of relics. You're preaching the gospel of Mary. You're preaching the gospel where the Pope is the vicar of Christ. And the only vicar of Christ is the Holy Spirit. That's the only vicar of Christ. Jesus said, I will send you the other comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. If anybody was going to take Christ's place, it was not Peter. It was the Holy Spirit. So, you cannot be evangelical if you're in bed with Rome. And the Joint College of African American Bishops is in bed with Rome. Is in bed. Secondly, it's not only is it not evangelical, it's not a reformation. Because if you're part of the Reformation, you are into straightening crooked things. If you're part of the Reformation, you are a protester. If you're part of the Reformation, you are not into promoting perverted things. If you're part of the Reformation, you're into cleaning up your act. That's what Luther and the other reformers tried to do to Rome. They said, listen, there's a lot of dirt here. There's a lot of cleaning we need to do. Yet the Church of Rome refused the Reformation. They refused it. And so that's why Luther and his colleagues had to leave. They were forced to leave. Why? Because Luther wanted to straighten out the church. The reformers wanted to straighten out the church. And the Roman Catholic Church wanted to keep the church perverted and twisted. So if you're in bed with Rome, you're not a reformation. You're not. So, again, Proposition 25. Despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not evangelical, since this religious corpus, this religious body, since this religious institution fails to represent and follow in the footsteps, and notice the word footsteps, the prophecy says that the Messiah, the one that is to come, will crush the serpent's head with his foot. And the serpent, in retaliation, would bruise the Messiah in his heel. Notice, the foot and the head are what's being mentioned here. The foot of the Messiah and the head of the serpent. One will be crushed, the other will be healed. Remember, we mentioned yesterday, you have to follow in his footsteps. The footsteps of who? A militant Christ. The militant Christ as revealed in the Old Testament. Yesterday, I just gave you one Bible verse. That was Genesis 3:15, and we broke it down. God said, I will put enmity. We looked at the Hebrew word enmity. We discussed what it meant in the original language. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her seed and your seed. Her seed shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise its heel. There's all-out war. God said, there would be two seeds. First, there would be enmity between the serpent and the woman. Secondly, there would be enmity between the woman's spiritual seed and the serpent's spiritual seed. There would be enmity. That's why the Roman Catholics of Luther's day opposed Luther. Why? Because they were of the serpent's seed. And Luther was in opposition to the serpent seed because he's of the seed of the woman. That was immediately played out between Cain and Abel. John chapter 3, verses 10 and following tells us that Cain did what he did to his brother. He cut his brother's jugular throat. He spilled his brother's blood. He spilled Abel's blood because he was of the wicked one. Right from the get, there were two seeds. This is why you had the Jesuits Satan's end time army, persecuting the disciples of the Reformation. Why? Well, because they were of Satan's seed, were the Jesuits. And the disciples of the Reformation were of the seed of the woman. There are two seeds. They're at war. That's why I can't help but be at war with false prophets. I can't help but be at war against false teachers. Why? Because I'm following in the footsteps of Jesus. I'm following in the footsteps of the disciples. I'm following in the footsteps of the apostles. I'm following in the footsteps of the reformer. I belong to that seed. I'm born from above. I'm born from above. And all of us who are born from above have an enmity. There's an, and God said, I will put enmity. You see, no one can remove it but God. He put it there, and it shall remain till the end of time. It shall remain. God put the enmity there, and it will always be there until God makes all things new. Until then, the enmity remains. So these guys over here from the Joint College of African American Bishops, they claim to be evangelical. That's false. They claim to be a Reformation. That's false. Why? How do we know that? Well, because they fail to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And if you're following in the footsteps of Jesus, you are doing what? What are you doing? What are you doing, my brothers and sisters? You are stepping on the serpent's head. And the serpent is lashing out at you by nipping at your heels. This is why Romans chapter 16, verse 20 says, Paul, writing to the Romans, says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. You see, if you're following in the footsteps of Jesus, you're going to trample on serpents. We are a marching army. We are a militant band. That's who we are. That, my brothers and sisters, that's who we are. So this Joint College of African American Bishops, they're fakes. They're liars. They are satanic double agents. Why? Well, because they claim to be evangelical, but that's a lie. They claim to be a Reformation, but that's a lie. They claim to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. That's a lie. How do we know that? Well, because they don't want to fight. 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 Well, let me play the audio for you. Now, the audio that you're about to hear is the audio from the gentleman, from the man, from the individual who happens to be the one of the founders. There were four founders. There were four founders, and he happens to be one of them. In fact, let me read this to you out of his book, The Bishopric, The Bishopric, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African-American Pentecostal Church. And he writes, one late afternoon, this is chapter one. Chapter one is entitled In the Beginning, and it reads like this. One late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office. While traveling, Archbishop Wilbert Sterling McKinley and Archbishop Roy Edmund Brown, both of Brooklyn, New York, along with Bishop J. Delano Ellis of Cleveland, Ohio, were discussing the need for providing assistance and training for the proliferated episcopacy within the African-American Pentecostal community. After lengthy discussion, a telephone call was made to Bishop Paul Sylvester Morton of New Orleans, Louisiana. Bishop Morton expressed his desire to join these men in forming this college, and Bishop Ellis was elected to preside over this venture. The name chosen for the organization was what? The Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, a.k.a. the Joint College of Bishops, and the headquarters was ordered to be situated in the seat of the founding presidency, which is Cleveland, Ohio. So that's one version of when this thing was founded. Here's another one. Here's another version. This comes out of the introduction, page number 13 of this dopey book. It says, when this college was ordered by the Lord, and I've already done a program proving to you that this college could have never been ordered by the Lord, but it says, when this college was ordered by the Lord, it was made clear that Episcopal-style training was to become the curriculum by which we would be governed. The co-founders trusted the Lord to give us a person who would mentor us and bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ and particular glory to his church in our times. It became needful for us to adopt a code of dress and habit that would set us apart from congregationalism. We found the need to rethink the theology of the Pentecostal fathers and forge a witness that would include the entire baptized body of Jesus Christ everywhere. It goes on to say, it was then time to create a college for the princes of the church. Princes of the church. Well, Christ said there were to be no princes in his church. That's what Christ our Lord said. But they decided to create a college. Notice, it wasn't for the glory of God. It wasn't for the benefit of the sheep. No, it was then time to create a college for the princes of the church. So now, let me play for you the audio that's found on YouTube. You can Google it. All you need to do is just type in, what is the joint college? What is the joint college? And if you type that in, this video would come up, and it's 3 minutes and 17 seconds long. And the reason why I want to play this video, and I'm going to hold my tongue, I'm going to hold my peace to the very end, because, I mean, I can spend the whole broadcast slamming the video and picking it apart and showing how asinine the words of the presenter are. This is an infomercial, by the way. This is an infomercial, and it's designed to get dopes to join this dopey organization. But I'm going to hold my peace till the end. Because, again, I want to deal with today's proposition. They claim to be evangelical. That's a lie. They claim to be a reformation. That's a lie. And I'll show you why. Here's the audio.
The Joint College of Bishops is a vision that grew out of a perceived need for preparing historically African-American men and women for Episcopal office. The problem at the time and even now was the illegitimate manner in which bishops proliferated onto the church scene. They erupted on the scene motivated by personal desires for acclaim and having insufficient academic and or spiritual credentials. They had no record of ministerial formation to say nothing of the right to be called by exalted titles. This was especially true in the African-American Pentecostal tradition. This is wrong on many levels, primarily because the motivation for ministry must be drawn from a slavish commitment to the cause of Christ and the upbuilding of his kingdom. We saw the need for providing training and tools for perfecting leadership with a view to the bishopric. The responsibility for both protecting the episcopacy and assuring it conforms to orthodoxy includes having some measure of watch care for weeding out the unsuitable and pretenders to the chair. The very first steps beyond commitment to Christ, divine calling, and theological preparation on the part of a candidate must be the development in them of a very high moral content of character with a strong emphasis on family. It is only then that a person can truly be considered ready for episcopacy consideration. It is with this in mind that I, along with the now Archbishops Roy Edmund Brown, the late Wilbert Sterling McKinley, and Presiding Bishop Paul Morton, were compelled to establish this joint college. This vision has expanded to include annual congresses where candidates They come to be instructed, inspired, and sharpened in all areas of ministries and graces. However,
now this is the portion I want to focus on. So listen to this very, very intently.
The college is much, much more. The Joint College of African American Bishops is a concordat of Pentecostal and light faith Christian hierarchy who have banded together without the affliction of theological conflict, but rather joined.
See, it's a group of people that have banded together without the affliction. In other words, they consider it a problem to earnestly contend for the faith. Let me play it for you again.
Without the affliction of theological conflict, of Pentecostal and light faith Christian hierarchy, who have banded together without the affliction of theological conflict. Light faith Christian hierarchy, who have banded together without the affliction of theological conflict. Light faith Christian hierarchy, who have banded together without the affliction of theological conflict, but rather and light faith Christian hierarchy, who have banded together without the affliction of theological conflict, but rather...
See, they've banded together without the affliction of theological conflict. In other words, when Jude says, brethren, it was needful for me to write to you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Now, mind you, Jude is writing this to just believers. He's not writing this to church leaders. He's writing this just to regular church members. And Jude says to the members, I wrote to you, the Holy Spirit has come upon me and has led me to write this letter so that you would know that you must earnestly contend for the faith. This guy who claims to be a leader in the church, who claims to be a metropolitan, if you will, who claims to be an archbishop, if you will, he claims that he was led of the Lord to establish a joint college, a body of ministers, that would do the opposite of what Jude encouraged under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They've removed conflict. They've removed affliction. They've removed contending for the faith. That's why I tell you they don't represent the Lord. They represent Satan. Satan is a liar. And Jesus said in John 8:44, your father, the devil, is a murderer from the beginning, and he's been lying since the beginning. This guy claims to represent the Lord. He does not represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says we must earnestly contend for the faith, and this guy says, no, we have an organization where there's no affliction. You don't have to fight. You don't have to contend. You don't have to debate. You don't have to argue. You don't have to deal with the minutiae of Scripture. You don't have to be a heresy hunter. Here it is again.
However, the college is much, much more. The Joint College of African American Bishops is a concordat of Pentecostal and light faith Christian hierarchy.
In other words, we have banded together with the Roman Catholic Church. We have banded together with the Anglican Church. We've banded together with the now apostate Lutherans who have signed an agreement with the Pope. We're just banding together in these end times with every other group that, number one, doesn't want to fight. Number two, believes in hierarchy. What are the churches that believe in hierarchy? Well, the Roman Catholic Church believes in hierarchy. That's why they have a pope, followed by the cardinals, followed by the archbishops, followed by the bishops, followed by the suffragan bishops, followed by the archdeacons, followed by the deacons, followed by the subdeacons, and so forth and so on. See, the Roman Catholic Church believes in hierarchy. The Anglican Church, the Church of England, believes in hierarchy. Believes in hierarchy. The Greek Orthodox Church believes in hierarchy. The church that Hank Hanegraaff has just joined, the Bible Answer Man, that dope, the church he just joined, believes in hierarchy. This clown here believes in hierarchy. Christ never preached hierarchy. Christ forbade hierarchy. And listen, you don't need to know Greek to understand in Matthew 20 and in Matthew 23 that Jesus told his disciples that they were to have no hierarchy in the church. But this guy has banded together with like faith. Well, like faith means apostates. Apostates. That's what it means. And they don't do any fighting. Why? Because as a body, as a corpus, they are snakes. They promulgate heresy. That's why they don't fight. No. What do? They open their mouths to promulgate heresy.
Where candidates, freshmen, bishops, and as well as seasoned bishops, they come to be instructed, inspired, and sharpened in all areas of ministries and graces. However, the college is much, much more. The Joint College of African American Bishops is a concordat of Pentecostal and light faith Christian hierarchy who have banded together with
what? Without the affliction of theological controversy.
Without the affliction of theological conflict, but rather joined by a shared commitment to moral excellence, devotion to orthodoxy, and with a view to expanding the influence of the message of Christ.
Well, the message of Christ is not, the message of Christ is not to be ecumenical. The message of, look, this is what this guy wants us to do. I'll tell you what he wants us to do. This is what he wants us to do. Listen to this. This is what this guy wants us to do. He wants us to all meet under a big tent and do this.
Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya.
Singing Kumbaya. I'm sorry. I am not going to be holding hands with some Muslim, with some Hindu, with some North American shaman. I am not going to be holding hands with some apostate Jew who teaches the Kabbalah. I'm not going to hold hands. I'm not going to hold hands with a Roman Catholic, with an Anglican pervert. It's not going to happen. It's not, I'm a protester. I'm marching behind Jesus. I am marching behind the Savior. And what is he doing? What is the Savior doing? What is the Savior doing? He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to crush the serpent's head. And God says to us through Romans chapter 16, verse 20, and the God of peace, who's at peace with us, but he's at war with the devil, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. I shared with you yesterday how the Roman soldiers had cleats, had spikes underneath their sandals, so that when they marched, not only did they provide them with traction, but in case they stepped on scorpions or serpents as they marched, they would kill the creature once they stepped on it. You have a bunch of spikes. You step on a serpent. You kill the creature. You kill it. That's where Paul writes. That's what he's trying to convey when he says the God of peace. God is at peace with us. God is at peace with the church. God is at peace with his children. But he's declared war on Satan. And the God of peace shall do what? What shall he do? Bruise Satan. And you see, the way he gets bruised is us marching. We're a militant, active people. We're about the Father's business. Now, this was conveyed by Jesus. Now, yesterday, I just gave you one scripture. But here is Matthew 10. Here is Matthew 10, verses 34 through 37. And this is in a very popular movie. It's a Jesus movie. And what the director and what the people who wrote the script included in this Jesus movie. It's a wonderful movie. Notice what they included. These are Jesus' words right out of Matthew 10, verses 34 through 37. Matthew 10, verses 34 through 37. Let's listen to this.
Do not think I have come to bring peace on earth. I have come not to bring peace, but a sword.
What did Jesus say? He says, don't be confused. I'm the Messiah. As the Messiah, I'm a warring Messiah. I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. I did not come to sing
Kumbaya.
Come so that you can hold hands with the enemy and sing Kumbaya. I came to bring a sword. Don't be confused, he says to his disciples. The Son of Man did not come to earth to bring peace. He is the Prince of Peace, but in his first coming, he did not come to bring peace. He came to bring a sword. He came to put the gospel in our hands so that through the gospel, through the word of God, through the sword of the Spirit, we might earnestly contend for the faith. See, this right now, we're in a time of war. We're in a time of spiritual war. The enemy would have us smoke the peace pipe. The enemy would have us come together around a campfire and sing Kumbaya. The enemy would have us come and sign peace treaties. That's what Pope Francis is doing. He's running around signing a peace treaty with the Lutherans and signing a peace treaty with the Anglicans, and they're running around. Pope Francis is coming to sign a peace treaty with Kenneth Copeland and that dopey bunch. But we're not going to sing Kumbaya, Lord, because the Lord in the song Kumbaya is not the Lord Jesus. I mean, the song can get you weepy-eye if you're ignorant. Oh, let's love one another. Let's pray that John 17 will come. Well, when Jesus said the prayer in John 17 that they all might be one as you and I, the Father, are one, he wasn't talking about being one with the devil. He wasn't talking about being one with a generation of vipers. He said that his sheep might be one. Not the sheep and the goat might be one, but that the sheep might be one. Jesus did not come. He made it very clear he did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Here it is again. Even Hollywood can get this right. This dopey bishop over there at the Joint College of African American Bishops, he can't get this right. But Hollywood, think about it. Pagan Hollywood got this right. Immoral Hollywood got this right. worldly Hollywood got this right, yet the Metropolitan over there at the Joint College of Bishops is a confused individual. Let's listen to the words of our Savior again in this movie. Once again, I have to give Hollywood credit. They are worldly, they are apostate, they are in darkness, but at least Hollywood got this right. Here it is.
Do not think I have come to bring peace on earth. I've come not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to sow discord between a man and his father, between a daughter and her mother, a man's enemies will be members of his own family.
Now, what does that remind you of? A man's enemies shall be members of his own. What does that remind you? Well, some members in your family are the seed of the serpent. Some members in your family are just like Cain. And you happen to be just like Abel. Some members of your family hate God, hate the Bible, hate the truth, love sin, love the darkness. You, on the other hand, you want to live holy. You want to live consecrated. You want to live by faith. You want to follow the Lord. You want to live in truth. Some members of your family are just like Cain. And you're just like Abel. And what happened between Cain and Abel? There was a war. Why? Because when you stand for the truth, those who love error will attack you. They will attack you. And what is your defense? What do you have to defend yourself? The sword of the Spirit.
Do not think I have come to bring peace on earth. I have come not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to sow discord between a man and his father, between a daughter and her mother. A man's enemies will be members of his own family. You may say, we have left our belongings to become your followers. I tell you this. Anyone who has left home, or father, mother, wife, children, land, for the kingdom of God, shall be rewarded 100 times over on earth and inherit the kingdom of God. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But if a man will lose his life for my sake and for the gospel I bring you, he will save it. For many that are first will be last. And the last first.
There you have it. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And you can read that in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 37. In fact, let's read it right now. Let's read it. Let's read it in its entirety. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 and 37, it says, "Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set at variance father against daughter, and against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall do what? Find it. Shall find it. Shall find it." Are you following Jesus? Which Jesus? Are you following the Jesus who has removed affliction and theological conflict? Then you're not following Jesus. That's not the that's not the Jesus of the Bible. In fact, let me prove to you that that's not the Jesus of the Bible and the Jesus that is soon to return. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1. Now, you can't get any more descriptive than this. I mean, you have to be retarded. You have to be a mongoloid. And I love that word, retarded. I love those words, retarded, mongoloid. They're in the Oxford Dictionary. I love them. You can't get any classier. You cannot get any classier than the Oxford Dictionary. And it's there. Mongoloid is there and retarded is there. So, I would argue that you have to be retarded or a mongoloid to think that Jesus removed from the church affliction and theological conflict. You just have to be retarded. You don't know Jesus. You don't represent him as he's presented in the New Testament. This is how he's presented in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. It says, I, John, turn to see the voice of him that spake with me. And being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks, like one like unto the Son of Man, who was clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paths with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as of a flame of fire, and his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went what? Went a sharp, two-edged sword. Out of the mouth of Jesus went a sharp, two-edged sword. Well, what do you think? The sword that he's talking about is the sword of the word. That's the sword he's talking about, the sword of the word. You see, we're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith. When the devil comes with his lies, we take out the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. So here in the book of Revelation, how is Jesus depicted? As having a sword coming out of his mouth. He said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. That's Matthew 10. In his exalted state, as he is in heaven, Jesus is pictured as having a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. Jesus is pictured as declaring war on falsehood, on error, on heresy. Jesus is not into us singing Kumbaya. Jesus is not into that. Now, let's read again. Here's another view of Jesus in Revelation 2:12. It says, and to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which have the sharp two-edged sword. Now, what does Jesus have? A sharp two-edged sword. Where is it? In his mouth. Now, John doesn't have to repeat that it's in his mouth, but that's where he has the sword. He has a sharp. And what is he going to do to the church of Pergamos? He's going to declare war. He says, I know thy works and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is. I'm appearing to this church because that's where Satan has his throne. And I'm showing up, and my description is, I have a sharp two-edged sword. But then when you read Revelation 19, in case you think he's going to change his appearance, Well, this is how he's going to appear when he comes back. This is Jesus when he comes back. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Revelation 19. Revelation 19. If you think Jesus is going to change because perhaps the Metropolitan over there at the Joint College of Bishops will argue, well, Jesus put down his sword. He left. He put down his sword. Well, look at how Jesus looks when he comes back. Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon the horse was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. What does he do? He makes war. He makes war. For those of you who want to sing Kumbaya, he makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And he had the name written, a name that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with vestures dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he might smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and tread it upon the winepress in the fierceness of the wrath of God. And he hath on his vestures and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My dear brothers and sisters, do you read what it says there in the Revelation about him? Did you hear what the text says? That he, what does he do? He shows up, and what does he have coming out of his mouth? Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. It's not a dull sword. It's not a play sword. It's not one of those swords that they use in Hollywood. It's not a prop. No, it's a real sword. Sharp. Sharp. Because he is going to do what? Fight. He's going to war. So, proposition number 26. Look at proposition 26. This is a slam dunk. Despite his claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not an evangelical reformation, since this religious corpus fails to represent and follow in the footsteps of militant Christ of the New Testament. I just gave you the New Testament scriptures. Which are they? Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 37. Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. All of those verses tell you Jesus has a sword, and he's given out swords. Not only does he have a sword, but Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Who supplied the armor? God did. What do you think he supplied an armor for? So that you can fight. Not so that you can play war. When I was a kid, and there were, Saturdays, you could watch on TV the Rat Patrol or G.I. Joe. We played war. I had a toy gun. I had a toy cap gun, and I had army fatigues, and we would go, and we would set up, make our own little bunkers, and I would make shooting sounds, and my buddies would fall to the ground like if they had died. But we would get up. It's play. These are props. But Matthew 10:34 through 37 does not speak of props. Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 16 does not speak of props. Revelation 2:12, Revelation 19:11 through 16 does not speak of props or of playing war. It speaks about real war. Despite his claims, I would argue that the Joint College of African American Bishops is not an evangelical reformation. Since it does what? Since this religious corpus fails to represent and follow in the footsteps of militant Christ. But he was militant in the Old Testament. He was militant in Genesis 3:15. And he's as militant in Revelation 19:11-16. From cover to cover, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, the Messiah is militant. His people are militant. That's why we're encouraged to earnestly contend for the faith. Yet, we have a fake institution that has infiltrated the African-American church, claiming to represent Christ. But I would argue, my dear brothers and sisters, since everything that they stand on is a complete lie, I would argue that they represent Satan. I would argue that they dress like Satan's emissaries. I would argue that they dress exactly like the Roman Catholic Church, and I would argue that they speak exactly like the Roman Catholic Church, that their gospels are one and the same, that their evangels are one and the same. They both have a pseudo-evangel, and if you have a pseudo-evangel, it didn't come from Jesus. It came from the devil. We close with this. Listen to this. Listen to this.
Well as seasoned bishops, they come to be instructed, inspired, and sharpened in all areas of ministries and graces. However, the college is much, much more. The Joint College of African American Bishops is a concordat of Pentecostal and like faith Christian hierarchy who have banded together without the affliction of theological conflict, but rather joined by a shared commitment.
That's a serpent talking. That's a serpent talking. That is a false gospel. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, study the word. Study scripture. Know what the Bible says. Be armed with the truth. Be armed with the truth so that when the serpent comes to beguile you as he beguiled Eve, you may say to the serpent, it is written. It is written. It is written. You see, it is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, scripture, the two-edged sword spoken of in Hebrews 4:16. It is that word of God. It's that word of God. It's that sword of the Spirit that keeps the devil at bay when you say it is written. I'll be back tomorrow with proposition number 27. God bless you, saints. I'm praying for you. You pray for me. And let's pray for the church. Universal. Let's pray for reformation. Let's pray that when the enemy would want to come in like a flood, it would be the Spirit of God who would raise up a standard against him. God bless you.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never fails. triumph through the prince of darkness grew. We tremble not for him, his rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. Sorry.